I've been wanting to get to this word for several weeks now, and I just couldn't seem to get there. And today I feel like it's what the Lord wants to speak into our hearts and lives. How many of you know that life is filled with all kinds of recalculations? Always being recalculated. I know for most of you in this room, most of us in this room today, we depend on. There was a time when I had a really good sense of direction. You take me somewhere one time, I can get back there just about any time. But I have been crippled now. I can't do that anymore because of a thing called GPS. Now I depend on Siri to tell me how to get where and when to get there. And as a result, I don't pay attention to anything. And how many of you know that even sometimes Siri will even recalculate you? In fact, let me just ask, I want to find out how old everybody is in the room. How many of you ever bought a Rand McNally Atlas before? I'm not talking about I'm talking about the big old book that you open. Thank you for your honesty and your gray hairs today. Thank you very much for that. You can relate to me today. You'd open up that big old, you get ready to take your family on vacation, and you know, you had the one double page that had the United States with all the interstate systems, and then each state would be broken down in a centerfold, and you would you'd find out where you're going, and you'd have to connect the states together to say, okay, when we cross over into Arkansas or Missouri, this is the road we're going to be on. Those were fun days and fun times. In fact, I'm reminded of a particular trip that Robbie Spradling, sitting in the dead center of the sound booth there, he and I, about 20 years ago, were making a trip from Dallas, Texas to Missouri, and we were going up, and we had just crossed over into the Oklahoma line, I should say, the northern Texas-Oklahoma line there, and as we crossed over, we realized that, you know, we know we're supposed to cut off east somewhere along the way, but we thought maybe we might have missed it, so we took an exit, went over a little overpass on the west side of the interstate there, and pulled over on the side of the road, and I opened up the big Rand McNally book. I had it with me. I don't even know why I had that with me on that trip, but I did. I opened it up, and it was a beautiful, sunshining Sunday morning that day, and we opened it up, and we figured out, okay, we're here, and we got to get there, and all of that. So we finally get it. We close the book. Robbie's driving. He looks back to make a U-turn because we got to go back and get on the interstate. As he turns back, that east sun hits him right in the eyes. As he turns out, bam, we got hit by a truck, pickup truck hits our front fender, and it knocks us back over into the ditch, and we're looking straight ahead, and we're watching this truck just tumble end over end in front of us, and it finally lands over in a ditch over in front of us on its side. And we're thinking to ourselves, oh dear Lord, we probably just really hurt somebody really bad here. About that time, that door flings open on the top, and a guy jumps out on top of the truck, on the side of the truck on the top. He's wearing nothing but a pair of overalls with no shirt and one of the loops hanging down. And he runs over to us, and I'm thinking, oh dear Lord, this Bubba's fixing to kill us. And he gets over to us with a big old grin on his face, and he says, that was fun. And we had just crossed over into southern Oklahoma. That was one of my first exposures to Oklahoma. Dad and brother shows up. Brother jumps out of the truck, runs over to him, and says, was it fun? And I mean, it was just, is this what you guys live for? And that began a sequence of events and recalculations of that day in our lives that some of it were like scenes from the movie Deliverance, if you've ever seen that before. We ended up in some no man's land out at some place with waiting for an Enterprise rental car to get there. It took them all day, and they finally showed up with like a 1985 Toyota Corolla. You could literally see the ground through the floor, with the rusted floor. And we make our way on to Missouri and on our way back, and that was our recalculations that day. One of the things that stands out to me about that was Robbie was what he was wearing that day. Y'all remember windsuits? Like the matching windsuits, like top and bottom? He had this like, he sees it, he remembers it different than me, but I remember it as like an American flag, red, white, and he was like a giant athletic Uncle Sam. I mean, he was just red, white, and blue all out. American flag, he'll probably put something on the screen in a minute to mess with me there, but recalculations. Have you ever had to deal with a recalculation in life? Siri pops up and says, you're going the wrong way. We need to make a correction here. We need to make a course correction. We can have our life clearly mapped out and know exactly what we want, and we can follow the plan that we've created, but when we hit that unexpected detour, that unexpected roadblock in our lives, all of a sudden our neat little organized life can begin to go up in flames. So what do you do when you have to recalculate due to some of life's unexpected detours. There's a story in the book of Exodus of two Hebrew slaves. It's a husband and a wife, and they're set apart from the millions of other slaves in Egypt because they had this unique ability to be able to recalculate and to adjust to the changing situations in their world. And because they recalculated properly, they would end up raising the greatest Hebrew leader of all time. They didn't even get to name him. He would later be called and named Moses. But even before Moses was born, the circumstances of his life were already conspiring against him. Even as he drew his very first breath as a newborn, his life was already in recalculation mode. He was not born in a time of freedom. There was this evil, homicidal maniac of a Pharaoh who was leading Egypt at the time, and he literally imposed genocide on all of the Hebrew baby boys. He had his people going through the land, and with every expecting Hebrew mother, they waited till the child was born, and if the baby was a boy, he was dead. Moses was born in that time. So Moses was literally born recalculating. He never stopped dealing with these unexpected detours all throughout the span of his life. His mother didn't have the luxury of being able to hold him proudly and show him off to everyone. No one was able to dote over him and talk about how much he looked like his daddy. His cries had to be muffled, and for 3 months he had to be hidden from those who sought to kill him. The very first breath that Moses drew in his life was in a world called unfair. But truly, life is rarely fair. If we're being honest, we have to say and know that life is not always fair. I think the question that we all need to contemplate today is this: what am I going to do when the circumstances of life cause me to have to recalculate? How am I going to handle that? What am I going to do? Some good advice for all of us would be to not spend a whole lot of time questioning those unpleasant stages of having to recalculate. We'll get run over if we stop long enough to think, to ask those questions like, why did this have to happen to me? Why am I having to go through this? This isn't fair. Life isn't fair. If we stop and we let our hearts and minds go there for very long, we're going to get ran over on the freeway of life. I agree that sometimes life is just not fair, but I've got to remind us all today that we've got to keep moving. We cannot stop when we face these situations and these recalculations of life, because if we stop in that place, we're most definitely going to get squashed on this freeway. We just have to move forward. We have to move forward in whatever measure of faith we have in that moment. None of us know how all this is going to turn out. None of us know what our tomorrow holds. Nobody has their idealistic world never move or change on them. It just doesn't happen. We just have to know it's going to happen in our lives. Recalculation is going to happen in our lives. We're going to experience the unexpected detours of life. It's going to happen. One writer said it this way: don't rejoice against me, O enemy, when you see me fall, because when I fall, I shall arise. Notice what he says there. He says, when I fall, not if I fall. When I fall, I already have a plan. I already know what I'm going to do. I'm getting back up again. There's two positions that I believe every believer should take in our lives. There's two positions that we should be in every day of our life. We're either standing up or we're getting back up. That's the only two options. That's the only two positions we have. I'm either standing up right now or I'm getting back up again. Laying down and staying down is not an option. And this is exactly what Moses' mother did. For 3 months, she successfully hid him from the Egyptians. Time ran out. The risky circumstances threatening death to her child mandated that she needed to do something. She had to recalculate. She had to recalculate her own life's journey to ultimately be able to save her son's life's journey. And here's how it unfolded. Exodus chapter 2, beginning of verse 3, it says, but when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, dabbed it with asphalt and pitch, and put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister, speaking of Miriam here, Moses' sister, stood afar off to know what would be done to him. There's three thoughts that I want to leave with all of us today as it pertains to recalculation. Recalculation in our lives. And number one is this: recalculation does not mean failure. Hear that today. Recalculation does not mean failure. Everyone must recalculate at some point. Everybody has to make a decision at some point. Everybody has to say at some point, I've got to think this thing through, and I've got to think this thing through again. Because imperfect humanity, living in an imperfect world, necessitates recalculation. We must recalculate. The recalculations of life are usually driven by four main events. There's four events that will mandate and cause our recalculations. And the number one thing that will cause us to recalculate are simply this: the circumstances of life. The circumstances of life. That just means that you came upon an exit that you expected to take, and you found out at the last minute that it was blocked for construction. It's not really anybody's fault. It's just something that happened. It was something that was out of our control. I'm a control guy. Any other control people in the room? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Be proud. Be proud. You're a control person. We need us in the world, because if we're not control people, if you don't have control people in the world, everybody just goes around aimlessly walking around like they, with no care in the world. Somebody's got to take charge. And I thank you for those of you people that stood up proud. In fact, don't just raise your hand. Stand up if you're a control person. I'm controlling the room right now. Stand up. Stand up, control people. Stand up. Those of you that's nudging your spouses, make your spouse stand up. Thank you very much. Control. Control. We're going to take control of this. Thank you, John Boy. I appreciate it. We need some control people in our lives, but there's some things that we need to know, control folks. We need to know that there's some things that's going to happen in life that just happen. We have no control over it. We can't control it. We can't control the outcome. One famous phrase is this: it just is what it is. Sometimes, control folks, we just have to look at things in life and say, you know what? It is what it is. When we can't control it, it's just the unexpected circumstances of life. When things happen, we always want it to be somebody's fault, but sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's just the circumstances of life. We know where we're going. We even have a really good plan on how to get there. We've prepared it all the way. We've even graduated from the Rand McNally to the GPS, and we're talking to Siri now. But sometimes, in spite of all of that, circumstances of life happen. Sometimes Siri gets it wrong. The second thing that will cause us to have to recalculate is this: is other people's choices. Sometimes other people make choices that cause us to have to recalculate. Somebody else made a choice and it impacted your life. They didn't have their brake lights, and you had to slam on your brakes, and you ran into a guardrail, and they went off without a scratch. Sometimes it's other people's choices. Somebody else moved away. Somebody else quit on the program. Somebody else gave up and threw in the towel. Some people may have impacted your life, and they don't even know that they did. Sometimes it's other people. The third thing that will cause us to recalculate is simply this: God's direction. God's direction in our lives. Sometimes there's nothing wrong. Sometimes you're doing exactly what's right, and God says, I want you to go here. And then along the way, he speaks up and says, wait a minute, I want you to go there. We want to put God in our little human box, and we want to limit him to our finite vision and imagination. But with God, here can always move. Now, he's not bound by time and space and plans and GPSs like we are. So God's plan to us can many times feel like recalculation, and we have to be pliable, and we have to be willing to recalculate when God speaks his direction and gives his direction in our lives. We can be perfectly in the will of God, and God can change our plan for his plan. We have to recalculate. And then the fourth thing that will cause us to recalculate, the fourth event that will cause us to recalculate, is just this: personal choice. Personal choice. We make mistakes. I go down the wrong road sometimes. I just need to admit it. I'm in the mess I'm in right now because I made the wrong turn. I made a mistake. We all make a mistake. Some folks in the room today, you need to forgive yourself for making a mistake. You've been harboring condemnation and shame for long enough. It's just time to recalculate. Sometimes we just get it wrong. And when we get it wrong, there's just one thing we have to do. Just recalculate. Sometimes you get it right, and you still have to recalculate. From the moment Moses got here, he was continually having to recalculate. Can we just come into agreement today and retire the idea that life has cruise control and autopilot? I know we're all wanting that. We all like that. That's all, it seems like, what we're striving for. But can we just retire that idea today? There is no cruise control in life. Unless you want to become a hermit and go hide in a cave somewhere till your last breath, if you're going to live this thing called life, if you're going to get everything out of it that God has for you, and you're going to live the destined and purposed life that He has for you, there's no such thing as cruise control. There's no such thing as not having to recalculate. No one ever just drifted to the top of a mountain. Well, one person did, Noah, but there was a lot of recalculations that took place that ultimately got him floating to the top of a mountain. We'll only get to the high mountains, and we'll only see those lofty peaks if we do it on purpose and with clear direction. We're not just going to kind of drift to get there. The bottom line is there will be many times throughout our lives that we're going to have to recalculate, and then guess what? We're going to have to recalculate again. And then guess what? We're going to have to recalculate again. Can you just imagine with me today the fear? The fear that Miriam, this is Moses' sister, the one that followed the little basket in the river, can you imagine the fear that she felt as she watched this group of Egyptian women coming down to the river? And there's that little basket that's holding her little brother. And now she realizes that one of those Egyptian women is the princess of Egypt. Can you just imagine the anxiety that she was feeling in that moment? She's now being faced with a scenario that no one had prepared her for. No one told her what to do in this situation. All of a sudden now Miriam is having to recalculate what to do. And the princess, she sees the basket, and she sends someone to get it. And this is what happens next. It's in verse 6. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister, Miriam, she said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Miriam goes and gets Jochebed, Moses' biological Hebrew mother. Can I just remind every one of us in this room today that we still serve a God who is in control? We still serve a God who is still working on our behalf, even when we don't see it, even when we're in our darkest and loneliest hours of our lives. God's still at work. He never quits working on our behalf. After Moses' mother gets there, the princess turns to her and says in verse 9, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." There's a whole sermon right there in that one phrase. So the woman took the child, her own baby. She took him home and she nursed him. If you'll be willing to recalculate, if you will just be willing to recalculate, God will turn it around in such a way for you that you'll end up getting paid to do what it was that you didn't think you would ever get to do in the first place. I want to tell you, look, there ain't enough hallelujahs in this room right now. I want to tell you something. You can find yourself in the worst of situations, and God is already working where you thought you would be burying your child from genocide. Now, but the very people that were going to kill your child are now paying you to raise and take care of your child. That's how our God works. You thought you lost it. You thought it was over. You thought it was done. But God, anybody in this room ever had any but God moments in your life? You thought it was going to be this way. You thought your life was going to look like this, but God did a recalculation in your life. He's still working on your behalf. His arm is not short, and His promises, thank you, Tanya, never fail. So number one, recalculation does not mean failure. And number two, recalculation begins a new season in our lives. Recalculation begins a new season in our life. Recalculation is not the end of our life, it's the beginning of a new season. Moses' life should have ended at birth, because that's what was happening to all of the lives of all of the little Hebrew baby boys. His life certainly should have ended in the Nile River with all of the dangers and the risks involved with that. His mother had no idea how this was all going to turn out. But when she recalculated and she put Moses in the water, when God is part of the recalculation, Moses ends up coming back home with her and her sister. Pharaoh would have killed Moses if he would have stayed at Jochebed's house to begin with. So what does Jochebed do? She recalculates. And here's how it turned out. Pharaoh couldn't kill Moses because Moses was being brought up in Pharaoh's house. So the very thing we're fighting against may be what God is actually moving us toward. It looks all wrong right now, and it feels all wrong right now, but by recalculating, all of a sudden it all gets right. Moses was raised in Pharaoh's house. He learned leadership that he would have never learned in Jochebed's house. He learned leadership that would ultimately cause him to lead 2 million people to freedom. And his mama could have never done that. She could have never done that in that Hebrew house. So we have to know that recalculation didn't kill Moses. Recalculation saved Moses and ultimately saved millions of people from slavery. So can I just say it this way? Quit hating on your recalculation. Let's quit cursing the recalculations in our life. Let's start looking at it and seeing God's hand in every recalculation in our lives. I'm not saying that recalculation is not hard. I didn't say that it wouldn't be surrounded with tons of questions with no immediate answers at times. I didn't say that recalculation wouldn't make you cry yourself to sleep at night sometimes. I didn't tell you that recalculation wouldn't hurt. But what I am saying is that God is still on the throne, and he's still working in the recalculations of our lives, all things together for good. Recalculation is not going to kill you. It's not going to kill us. I'm still standing better than I ever had. I think I changed the words, but it's okay. We're tougher than we think we are. We were built to handle recalculation. We can do more than we think we can do. In your life, there's going to be a new beginning waiting for you, but that means there's also going to be an ending waiting for you as well. And before we can have a new beginning, we have to have an even closer ending to something in our lives. That means that we've got to end before we begin again. That's the only way that one chapter closes and a new chapter begins. In chapter two, recalculation rescues Moses from Pharaoh, and then life happens. Just read and study the journey of Moses from that recalculation in the river that we just read about. Read his life, read his story. But then comes chapter 12 of Exodus. And in chapter 12, Moses rescues a nation from Pharaoh. This could be a revelation for some of us today, I believe, in this room. I truly believe this will be an eye-opener for some of us today. We can't live in chapter 2 and chapter 12 at the same time. There's a lot of recalculations that happen between chapter 2 and chapter 12. You can't live in those two places simultaneously. And the longer we wait to recalculate, the higher the cost is going to be. Some of us need to recalculate because we're on the wrong road. Some of us just need to wake up and say, wait a minute, I'm not on the right road. I've got to get where I'm supposed to be. If we're on the wrong road, can I just say it this way? I've been guilty of this. My brain and the way it works, if we're on the wrong road, going faster won't get us where we need to go. I went to pick my grandfather up. Oh, dear Lord, I'm fixing to confess my sins before the whole church. I went to pick my grandfather up from Jackson the other day, and we're coming back, and we're on the Interstate I-20, and there's this trailer house they're pulling, and it's kind of taking up part of the passing lane and part of the shoulder, and we can either sit here and go 70, the speed limit all day long, but who wants to do that behind this trailer, or we can get around them. And I didn't mean to do this, but I told my grandfather, I was like, if you don't mind, I'm going to put this six-cylinder into gear, and we're gonna get around this trailer house pretty fast. Oh, no, that's good. I don't want to be up beside that thing. Get us on. And I gun it, And as I'm making my way around that trailer house, I look down at my speedometer, my digital speedometer. Y'all folks, please forgive me, Sheriff. It wasn't in this parish, so don't handcuff me after this. Y'all, it said 97. I think it was lying, but it said 97. And I had my 95-year-old grandfather in the passenger seat. Thankfully, he didn't see it. But how many of you know that going faster, if you're on the wrong road, going faster won't get you there? If we're lost and we speed up, we're only going to get loster faster. There's a new word for you today, loster. Let me just tell you, if you want to go to Dallas, Texas today, if you head up to I-20 at Dale High and hit I-20 East, I don't care how fast you go, you can go 97 miles an hour, you ain't going to get to Dallas. I don't care how fast you go. So refusing to recalculate will never result in arriving at the proper destination. And my third and final thought today is simply this: recalculations never stop. They never stop. If we ever think we're going to get to that little plateau place and just coast, and just, well, I think all the recalculations are over with for me, and I can just kind of sit in my rocking chair and sip my sweet tea and just coast on out of here. We never stop having to recalculate because the variables continue to change. Just like driving, our hands are always moving because the road constantly demands it. There's two big elements that are fighting against recalculation in our lives, and the first element that fights it is the fear of recalculation. The fear of recalculation. Some people will say, it may be wrong, I may be on the wrong road, but at least I know this road. I'm familiar with this road, I'm comfortable with this road, I know all the curves, I know all the things to expect on this road. It may not be the right road, but it's the comfortable road. I'm fearful of going where I've never been before. We can't allow fear to stop us from what could be because we're afraid of what it might be. The second element that fights against recalculation is pride. Pride stops recalculation because we don't want everyone to know that we're off course. We don't want anybody else to know that we don't know where we're at. Any men in the room today? I'm on the right road. I know where I'm going. Pride. And I don't recalculate, and I make the trip 2 hours, 3 hours longer because I dug my heels in. We have to recalculate, and recalculations never stop. I'm closing. There's usually three kinds of people that we encounter in life that will influence us in some manner. The first kind of person is this, that person who helped you in a difficult time. You remember those people. You know who they are. You were in a difficult time. They were the people who helped you during that time. There's another kind of person, and that's the person who left you in a difficult time. You're in a difficult season, and all of a sudden, where are you? Where are they? And then there's a third category of people. It's those who put you in a difficult time. I don't want to ask you to start thinking about who those people are. I don't want to flare up any of those emotions today. But they are. They're out there. It's people who were with you in a difficult time. There were people who left you in a difficult time. And then there's those people who put you in a difficult time. There's three types of people that influence us in some manner. And with every type that I just mentioned, there will be recalculation after every one of those influences in our lives. Every recalculation in our lives is not a lobotomy. It's not a rebuilding of our brain. Sometimes it's just a small course correction. Sometimes it's just recalculating a little bit. God is intentional about our lives, and he's recalculating everything. When Joseph died in Egypt, there was a recalculation. When Pharaoh, this evil Pharaoh, came to power that turned God's people into slaves in Egypt, guess what? There was a recalculation. When Jochebed conceived Moses, guess what? There was a recalculation. When Moses was born, there was a recalculation. When Jochebed put her 3-month-old baby boy in a basket and put him in the river, not knowing what his outcome would be, in that moment, there was a recalculation. When Moses was raised and taught in the palace of Pharaoh, there was a recalculation. When Moses became a young man and his Hebrew roots all of a sudden outstretched his Egyptian teaching, guess what? There was a recalculation. And when he defended a Hebrew and he actually killed an Egyptian, there was a recalculation. When he fled to the wilderness because Pharaoh wanted to now kill him, there was a recalculation. And when God found him on the backside of the desert and he set a bush on fire and began to talk to him through that bush, guess what? There was a recalculation. We go through the whole story and it's recalculation all the way through. But let me bring it home into your life and mine today. God designed us and he knew us before we were even conceived. And when those billions of cells came together to create you, God calculated. He calculated in you and I today. We are the sum total of his calculation. But just as soon as we were born, as soon as we breathed that first breath in this thing called life, all of a sudden, a series of recalculations began to happen. When your dad lost his job and it changed your whole family's lifestyle, there was a recalculation. When tragedy and loss and pain hit your family, there was a recalculation. When you fell in love, there was a recalculation. When you fell out of love, there was a recalculation. When you became pregnant with that child earlier than you thought you were ready for, there was a recalculation. God didn't kick you out, he just recalculated. When you got messed up on drugs, God never quit on you. He just recalculated. When your kid went to prison, God recalculated. He gave you a grace that most people don't have because he has the ability to recalculate. When you got married, he recalculated. When the marriage didn't work out and it ended in divorce, God recalculated. And when your job was lost, God recalculated. Let me just say it this way. When we get off course, when we get off track, God doesn't say, I'm done with her, I'm done with him. I wonder how many times I've gone down that wrong road. I wonder how many times I've gotten off the right path. I wonder how many times I took my own way and God was just all along right beside me saying, okay, it's okay, let's just recalculate. Let's just recalculate. I wonder how long I've lived in those seasons of beating myself up, how long I've lived in those seasons of allowing the enemy to tell me I wasn't worthy of anything good in my future, all because I found myself on a wrong road. And all the while, the Holy Spirit was whispering in my spirit saying, it's okay, son, it's okay. Just recalculate. Just recalculate. There's a famous verse that we use here at Life Church all the time. If you've been to two services at Life Church, you've heard it twice probably. It's one of our famous favorite ones of all. Apostle Paul writes, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together. All things work together for good to those who love God, for those who are called according to it. Can I just say it this way? Can I just say that we know that all things are always being recalculated by God to bring about an amazing and a great and a good outcome? If I can just wrap it up this way, I'll say it this way. Nobody can outcalculate God. Nobody can outcalculate God. When Robbie and I were on our way back from Missouri on that same trip in that old Toyota Corolla, as we got back about to the spot of that Oklahoma line, about where we almost thought we lost our lives one way or the other. It's late at night. We're trying to make our way back to Dallas. I'll never forget this. It was almost 20 years ago. But I was at a very crucial spot and place in my life. If I'm being honest, I was in a very lonely and dark place in my life at that time. Robbie being one of my dearest friends, I'll never forget, as we came about to that same spot, that same area where we had to recalculate, the Holy Spirit moved into that little Toyota Corolla. And God began to speak and work through Robbie. He began to pray. And then his prayer moved from prayer to prophecy. And my dear friend began to prophesy over my life and begin to speak and declare things over my life that I couldn't even imagine, that I didn't even think was possible. And I'll never forget it. It's still as vivid today as it was 20 years ago because God was speaking. And he was doing it through the lips of my anointed friend that day in that little Toyota Corolla where I could see the interstate through the floor. And God is speaking. And in that moment, I received it. I received it. And guess what? Every one of those things that were declared and prophesied began to unfold and began to happen. It was recalculations. If I wasn't ready for the recalculation, I wouldn't have experienced all the things that God was longing to do and wanting to do in my life. It's amazing how that journey began with recalculation and it ended with recalculation. I believe across this room today, there are those of us today who you're at that crossroads, you're at that fork in the road, whatever it may be. Maybe it's in your own heart and life and your relationship with the Lord. You've been kind of on the fence. Maybe it's that decision that you're having to make. Maybe it's your marriage today. Maybe it's that situation that you feel like there's no hope with and it just all looks lonely and bleak and dark. I want to tell you today, if we'll just recalculate, if we'll just reform our hearts and our minds and renew our hearts and minds, if we'll look to heaven today, I promise you we can allow Him to do the calculating in our lives and the recalculating in our lives. And I promise you the outcome is going to be amazing. He works all things together for good in our lives. Would you stand with me today across this room? I want us to have a time of ministry today. It's the hour still early, and I want us to pray together today. I want us to believe the Lord today. I believe there are those of us who are in this room today. Our path is looking one way. The road we've been on says one thing and dictates one thing to us, but I believe that God has a recalculation for us, and He doesn't want us to leave out of these doors the same way we came in. The burdens that you walk in here with today, the fear and the weight that you're carrying today, the condemnation and the shame that you're carrying with you today, it's not God's intent for you to walk out of here with it today. We're going to leave it with Him. We're going to say, God, I just want you to recalculate my life. I want to look to you. I want to follow you. I want you to be the master GPS of my life, and you lead me and guide me in every step. And I promise you, He's going to begin to bring His peace. He's going to begin to bring His healing. He's going to begin to bring His deliverance. He's going to begin to bring His direction and guidance into our lives. Give us wisdom that we can't even comprehend or understand with our own human knowledge. I believe He's going to do that today. He can do it right where you stand. He can do it in this altar area. If you want to respond to a time of kneeling at the altar, that's fine too, but you can do it right where you're at. Just let God do His work in your life today. It's early, folks. Let's just take some time. Let's just allow God to do His work. I don't know what it is that you need in your life today. Only you and God know. Maybe your spouse at the most, but God knows. And let Him begin to do that recalculating in our lives. Father, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, for your promises, God, that's already been declared so many times today that are yes and they are amen. So today, God, we come to you. We look to you, God. We're not looking to Rand McNally. We're not looking to our GPS or Siri. God, you and you alone to lead and guide and calculate and recalculate our lives, God. And we know that today, God, with all assurance, that you, God, are working all things together for good in our lives. So we trust you. We trust you. God, I'm believing you today, God, for healing. I'm believing you today, God, for deliverance. I'm believing you today, God, for restoration. I'm believing you today, God, for salvation, God, and those chains of condemnation and shame to be broken off of hearts and lives that have bound and kept imprisoned for so long, God. We walk out of here today free and walking in victory, God, walking in the promises of God. I thank you for it today. I thank you for what you're going to do, even over these next few moments as we worship. I believe you're going to do some mighty things in the hearts and lives of people, in Jesus' name. Amen. These altars are open. If you want to come, make where you stand an altar. Do what you want to do today. Let's let God move. Let's let Him work in our lives.